So I'd like to start this morning with a little story, a Kong'an, as it's known in Korea, or a Koan you might be more familiar with from the Japanese tradition. And it concerns a monk called Huairan, who lived in a place called Mount Sung in the north of China. And he'd heard these reports about this great meditation teacher called Huineng. Huineng is considered to be the sixth founding teacher of the whole Son Zen tradition. He's a very important teacher. So he decided that he'd actually make a trip down to visit Huineng to see what he could learn about his meditation technique. So he set off from Mount Song, and it took a couple of weeks. It was a few hundred miles he had to walk to get there. And when he arrived at the temple, he was ushered in to see this great master. And Huineng said, you know, what's your name? Where have you come from? And Huairan responded, I'm Huairan, and I've come from Mount Song. At which point, Huineng retorted, but what is this thing? And how did it come to be here? And Huairan was left speechless. He didn't know what to say to that. And we're told then he practiced for 8 years in the monastery. We're not told what he does. But we can see in that story there's a sudden shift from our more kind of habitual ways of being in the world, the stories we have about ourselves, about what life means, the habitual ways we actually receive our experience in the world, sights and sounds, smells, they all become quite common to us. We start to not notice them in such a fresh way. And what Huineng does is he pulls the rug out from under Huairan and says, but who are you really? And how did you come to be here at all? So he directs them back to what the Chinese call the great matter of birth and death, what the Buddha referred to as dukkha, as suffering, aging, sickness, death. So this is the territory that this question starts to move into. It's about actually bringing a fresh, new perspective to our life, going beneath our habitual ways of being in the world, and actually bringing a fresh curiosity. So a couple of things to say about this question. As I pointed to last night in the short guided meditation, this is an embodied question. It's not an intellectual curiosity. We're not asking the question with our head. We're actually asking it with the whole of our bodies. So in the tradition, they talk about asking it from the belly. Or another teacher talks about asking the question with the 360 bones and the 84,000 pores of the body. So this sense of the whole of us is actually involved in this question. It's not an intellectual analysis. Also, with this question, the important part of the question is not the what or the this, it's actually the question mark. For this to be a live question for us, it actually has to be something in a sense we're curious about and we don't know the answer to. So within the Song tradition, with this question, it's not actually having an answer that's important. It's actually the question in itself. Having this curiosity, this perplexity about life, about what it is we're really experiencing in this moment. So it has this sense of not knowing. So the question has two elements to it. It has, the question itself is an anchor. So every time we say the question, or we ask the question quietly within the body, it brings us back to the whole moment. We come back to the body, sitting here, breathing, the sounds, thoughts coming and going in the mind. We come back to the whole of our experience in the present moment. But the questioning as a question, when it's actually a live question, also has this sense of inquiry, of curiosity, of perplexity. There's something here we're not sure about, we don't know. There's a mystery, in a sense, to life. It brings us back to that sense of mystery and sense of wonder with life. But of course, like all meditation practice, those of you who are familiar with it, there are times when we struggle and it can become quite habitual. It can feel like there's no life in the question, we're just asking it habitually. And it's, again, the thing is just to notice that and come back to, but what is this? And then this doesn't refer to any particular aspect of our experience. So it's not, if we hear a sound, what is this sound, you know, or what is this pain in my knee? It's just, what is this? It's just that opening to the fullness of the moment, to the fact that we're here at all, experiencing this moment of life, rather than there being nothing at all. There's a deep mystery in that. So, in terms of the practice, as we were starting to show in that short guided meditation, very much it's about embodiment. And the tendency many of us have when we ask a question and what would be our habitual way of being conditioned by our education is to go up into the head and to actually try to come up with an answer. So we go into analysis, we go into speculation. And this question isn't about coming up with some fine philosophical answer, whether that's Buddhist or Christian or anything else. It's actually the primacy of our life becoming questionable. The very fact that we're here experiencing this becomes a question for us. We have a curiosity about it. So there are different ways we can approach this. In tradition, in the Sun tradition, they just ask the question. And for Martin, our teacher, who was in a Sun monastery in Korea for 10 years, that's all she did. She literally just asked the question. But what you're trying to do when you ask this question, as I said, it's an embodied question. And what you're interested in is what they call the sensation of questioning. When you ask a question, how does it feel in the body? What's the resonance in the body and the heart of asking a question? Of there being something that you're not quite sure about? And we might know this in our daily lives, you know, if we misplace our keys, and we do that thing, we check our pockets, and check our pockets, and check our bag, and we go through the pockets again, as if we didn't notice the first time, and check the bag again, and there's a real sense of perplexity about where could I have left my keys, and we can really feel it in the body, it's not just in the head, but our, you know, we've got movements in the body trying to check what's going on, where it is. So we have that sense of actually, there's a sensation with that perplexity, with that questioning. So when we ask the question, we just, if you like, throw the question into the body, into the moment. We come back to the whole moment, but also we come back to what is that felt sense of a question? What's that felt sense of curiosity, of wonder about our lives? And as that sensation fades, again we just ask the question. So it has this, they talk about it almost having this circular movement. We drop the question in, we just rest for as long as there's this sense of sensation of questioning, that sense of perplexity, of curiosity, and then as it's fading, we just raise the question again. And there's nothing special about the words of the question. So if your first language isn't English, just translate it into your own language. In Korea, they say imoka. But also, within the Sol and Zen traditions, there are lots of other koans people use to generate the same sensation of questioning. So it's not sacred, the words aren't sacred, and it's not a mantra. There's nothing special about repeating it lots and lots of times. The important thing is actually having that sense of actual curiosity, of perplexity, of questioning, of something we don't quite know about this moment. It's almost like as we open to the moment, we're almost saying, what is it about this moment I don't know? Rather than grasping at things I know and trying to define the moment. So, you can play with seeing, you know, if I just use the question as my anchor, does that work for me? And there can be times when there's a lot more distraction, you find yourself having to ask the question a bit more often. And there can be those moments when there's a bit more stillness, a bit more calm. And then we find actually we kind of rest a bit more in just this sense of curiosity and perplexity. We don't have to ask the question as much. So really allowing yourself just to explore that and see how that works for you. So that's the traditional Son way of doing questioning. There's another teacher within Korea who actually teaches it attached to the breath. So if you're more familiar with using the breath as an anchor, you can also explore whether actually using the breath and the question together works better for you. So what this teacher teaches is you breathe in, and you breathe out, and as you breathe out, you just ask the question, what is this? And you just allow that to resonate. You breathe in, you breathe out, and again you just allow that question, what is this? So you have the added support of the breath as an anchor into the moment. But you're also using the question to stimulate that sense of curiosity and perplexity and questioning. So that can be another way to explore this. And finally, the third way you can explore this, if you're particularly more used to mindfulness practice, is you can actually do a bit like I did last night. You can use the breath, the body, as your anchor, and maybe four or five times in the meditation, just drop the question, what is this? into the mix, into that sense of embodiment. And just stay with, as long as it is, that sense of resonance of the question. And then just come back to the breath, body, and 5 minutes later, whatever, just again, drop the question in. So we have this way that the question brings a bit more inquiry into the practice, a bit more curiosity into the practice. Within Son, they have this saying, Song Song Chuk Chuk, which means calm, calm, bright, bright. So what we're trying to do in this meditation is have this balance between stillness and calmness, so the anchoring of the question, but all this brightness, this clarity of mind that has this curiosity about experiences, curiosity about our lives. And we're trying to bring those into a balance. So if we're too calm, we can tend to get a bit sluggish. And we can become a bit kind of slightly present, but also slightly kind of just drifty in the pleasantness. If we're too bright, we can get a bit agitated. It can be a bit too like the mind starts to become very active. So we need the anchoring just to bring that calm and stillness, so we have that balance between them. So the invitation really is to be playful with this. So just to really invite yourself to explore this without an agenda of I must get this right, I'm not doing it right, I can't do this, I'm not going to, you know, those typical kind of habitual ways we have of judging our experience. Really bring a playful curiosity to how the question might work for you. And you've got, as I said, those three options. You can just use the question. The question becomes your anchor and your stimulation of the curiosity, the perplexity. You can combine it with the breath, so you have that stability of the breath as an anchor as well, and the question comes with that. Or the third way you can do it is actually use the body breath as a practice, and then from time to time drop the question in. And as with any meditation practice, this practice, some people really love it really works for them and they're really drawn to it, and some people find it a bit, why am I asking this question, what's the point of this question, it can be a bit frustrating. So part of the weekend is also discovering what really works for you in terms of your practice. There isn't any one right way to practice. There isn't one method that's better than any other method. There's actually this thing of finding what works for us. So if you find that what the question tends to do to you is make you just think a lot and become a bit agitated, then just come back to the body, to the breath, and just drop the question in from time to time. I mean, most of us do start with a bit of the mind starting to think, just because that's the habit of mind. When we're asked a question, we go up to the head and we try to find an answer. So if you find the question intrigues you and you're interested in exploring it, but you find it does generate some thinking, there is a certain amount of just having to burn off that habit of what we're conditioned to do is find an answer and think about things. So again, allowing the question to really bring you into the body and ask the question from the body and not get caught up in the thinking mind. The other thing is, some people find that the question can make them feel a bit anxious. That actually this invitation to rest in a certain not knowing, a certain life becoming questionable, can stoke up a certain amount of anxiety. And again, if you find it's just creating too much anxiety, come back to the stabilizing of the body, of the breath. Really work on calming and stilling and that sense of nourishing from that. And if it feels appropriate, just drop the question in two or three times during a meditation practice. And if all else fails and the question really, really doesn't feel like it's working for you, this is your meditation retreat, this is your practice. And if what feels most appropriate is to go into something like the metta practice or just doing breath body for the whole weekend, then that's fine as well. It's really about what nourishes and what supports you in terms of your practice. So again, within this practice, the questioning flows throughout the day. So when we do the walking meditation together around the hall, we can also drop this question into the walking. So as we're walking, we can just ask from time to time, what is this? Both as an anchor back to the present moment, but also to bring curiosity to the act of walking. You know, there's some things quite strange about the act of walking when you start to investigate it. a lot of the time when we walk, we're actually moving from balance to being unbalanced to balance. And, you know, the sense of where does walking start and the person who's walking, where do they meet? Where's walking and where's the walker? Can we make that distinction? So it just brings curiosity to the whole aspect of actually what it is to be doing this at all, to be experiencing this at all. When we eat, again, we can bring that same curiosity. What is this? What is this experience of eating? As we're sitting, having a cup of tea, resting, again, we can just drop the question in. What is this? Just bringing us back to the totality of the moment and a sense of curiosity about being alive, right here, right now, experiencing this.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.